Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand
this
audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
So here's a kind of a funny story to share. I sit here at the control board every day. Not like the other hosts here at 97.1 FM Talk. I'm a control freak, so I run my own board. That's essentially the reason. I'm a disc jockey from, you know, my old days. I was a radio music guy, so I know how to run a board. Other people don't know how to run a board. But we have a relatively new board. We've had different boards over the years. Fred, you and I go back to the pots. Remember, we used
right.
to turn the handles. Anyway, there's something on my board when I go to a guest, and the phone lines are up here, or if we take callers or anything like that. And there's all these things. I'll just read them to you. It says master home, show profiles, monitor options. I have no idea what any of that means, right? It's all technical for the engineers. But then there's one that says call control. And the code that Sue and Fred and Ethan have used, because Fred gets a guest on the phone in the other room, and then to remind me, because I got to press the button, right? So I'm going to do that right now with our next guest. So I got to lock him in.
So I will come in every day and say, call control.
Because that's my brain. That tells me, okay, press the button. He says, call control. Sue, you do it sometimes too. So Daniel, who is helping, he's one of the producers here out there in the other room. Daniel all this time thought that Fred was saying, Paw Patrol, which is the kids' show.
Hey, I kind of love that.
I do too. And I had to tell Daniel, I've seen Paw Patrol live a couple of times with Alexa, but how funny is that? And it makes complete sense because why would you be saying call control anyway, right?
Right.
It's just kind of our insider thing.
Well, the fact that we all say it, he must be thinking we're completely insane.
I know.
Fred says call control. I say call control. And
now,
then
and then I hit the button. Now, Dwayne Patterson has a lot of experience with things like this as a radio guy himself. He's with HotAir.com. He hosts the Dwayne's World podcast.
Oh, yeah.
How about that story? That's pretty good. How are you?
So he's what, 14?
He's a little older than that, but that's not too off the mark for sure. Now, you were going to clear something up on our conversation from the last hour about people who smell bad at work.
Well, exactly right. That's exactly right. And by the way, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I want to say to Sue and Fred.
Thank you.
Alex gets a pass because he is Jewish, although he could put up a Hanukkah bush and get away with it. But Ethan, Sue, Fred, I don't know what you did to hate the baby Jesus, but there is not a Christmas tree in your shot behind you like there is with Mark. Mark seems to be the only one of the group.
I love Christmas.
On the last week before Christmas, your last week working here, and you all are just hating the baby Jesus, and I'm just disappointed.
It's
in
just
you.
The camera.
I don't
angle.
Even have
I'm
anything
looking,
behind me to
I'm
put it on.
I think
what
I
about
have a
you?
Flag. Do I have a United States flag?
You do have a United States flag
I
behind
a flag
you.
Too.
You do. So some guy, hang on here. Let's go back to the odor topic. So somebody emailed and said, Phil is his name. He says, I wanted to clear one thing up about your Smelly People podcast or show here. He's very specific on it. He goes, those people actually don't smell. They think you smell. And that's probably true, right?
Well, first things first, you can develop a nose blindness to your own scent. I mean, that just does happen. And sometimes you don't realize how bad you come across. Now, there are ways to address, Sue, there are ways to address other people at work. I know, you're like, how do you have that conversation? Well,
yeah.
There's practical ways, there's funny ways, there is covert ways of doing it. You could do like a Secret Santa gift if it's around the holiday season, right? You give a Secret Santa gift of a pint of Axe. Right? You know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You could get to the office half an hour earlier and you could put a Glade plug-in under their desk. You know, plug it in, plug it in. You could do the practical approach where you try to mentor somebody and you say, so how long have you been having behavior or relationship problems? And maybe I can help you diagnose as to what may be a preventive barrier for you to meet somebody in a new relationship. You could do the funny approach. You could say, hey, I just went to a car wash, and they've got this brand new scent in an air freshener. I think it smells really great, but they told me it works better if it's heated. So can you go put this under your arms for a couple of hours?
That's an interesting technique.
Wow.
I'll have to remember that one in the future. It's just such an awkward conversation. Like, the bad breath thing is there, too. We didn't really talk about that, but that's something else that, you know, you certainly can have an issue with in the workplace.
Absolutely, absolutely right, and that does become a thing in radio. You're constantly talking and constantly working your mouth. Sometimes you don't have an idea of what's actually coming out. So, mints and gum and that kind of stuff is always fine to have during the breaks.
All right, let's talk some politics here, Duane Patterson. And let me start with some news that's kind of breaking here in the last hour. I don't think I've mentioned it yet. I think maybe it was on Fox. But Dan Bongino tweeted out, I will be leaving my position with the FBI in January. I want to thank President Trump, AG Bondi, Director Patel for the opportunity to serve with purpose. Most importantly, I want to thank you, my fellow Americans, for the privilege to serve with you. God bless America. I mean, I didn't see this one lasting. I think amongst all of the positions that were, you know, appointed by this president, and, you know, he had some issues in that first term. I think he did relatively well with the cabinet. I wasn't crazy about Cash or Bongino. Now, we got a guy, Andrew Bailey, who was our attorney general, Duane. He went to Washington 2 months ago to be assistant FBI director. No one's ever heard from him since. He may be missing, as far as I know. But the gut check that I had was that I don't think Cash is going to be in there that much longer. Maybe Andrew Bailey might be the next FBI director. Any thoughts there?
It's certainly possible. I know that Donald Trump had Cash Patel in the Oval when the story broke that they were going to find a slow part of the month in January, and they were going to dump him and replace him. And Caroline Leavitt immediately came out, and Cash was in. Caroline Leavitt showed that headline to Donald Trump, and he said, that's preposterous.
Okay.
And so he seems to like Cash Patel. I have never heard the president mention Dan Bongino, good or bad. I've heard him do nothing but praise Cash Patel. One of the things that is interesting about the timing of this is, especially with regards to the investigation going on in the Brown University shooting, because that one is just troubling all the way around. And I can't remember a school shooting where we didn't have somebody that we were actually going for within 48 hours or actually caught. And so there's something going on
there. It's bizarre.
There, and
it really is. It's very strange.
And it seems to me that maybe Bongino doesn't like the way things are going, and he just can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll have to see.
I don't know.
We'll have to see the narrative that comes out. All right, so then we have this speech tonight. We're going to air it here on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm a little pissed off it's going to interfere with my Survivor reunion or finale tonight, truthfully, because my family watches that. But what do you expect from the president tonight? Will this be a narrowly focused speech? I can't imagine he's going to go on for 90 minutes like he did in Pennsylvania. But what are you hearing from Capitol Hill? What do you think is going to happen tonight?
From what I can tell, I mean, there was talk online that this is going to be the precursor for more kinetic action in Venezuela. I don't think so. That doesn't seem to be what he's going to do. He came back from Dover Air Force Base with the peaceful or for the dignified transfer of the bodies
right.
of the Iowa servicemen in Syria. And when he came back and landed at Andrews, he did a quick gaggle, and he said it's pretty much just going to be talking about the economy and how, you know, we're starting to look up and things are going, you know, the best is yet to come type of thing. I think what you're going to hear is kind of a mini State of the Union type of thing. It's not going to be necessarily a laundry list of spending programs that are coming, but I think it's going to be a rah-rah about, look, don't let the media tell you how rotten the economy is. Here, look at what gas prices are. Look what food prices are. Look at what, you know, look at all the stuff that's going on, and we are turning a corner. Just ride it out and give it a little bit of time. It's going to be good.
Here's Carolyn's comment today on the speech tonight.
It's going to be a really good speech. I was just in the Oval Office with the president discussing it. He's going to talk a lot about the accomplishments over the past 11 months, all that he's done to bring our country back to greatness, and all he continues to plan to do to continue delivering for the American people over the next 3 years.
Now, Dwayne, what I would say here is I talk about the president in two different forms sometimes. There's teleprompter Trump, where he's out there and he's doing the basics and he's reading the teleprompter. Then there's off the teleprompter during the teleprompter Trump, where he'll, you know, kind of weave and he'll go off script. And then there's just off script, you know, weave guy. So I don't he's not as effective when he just reads the teleprompter. So there has to be some moments where he can passionately, you know, express himself to the American people. This will be interesting for me to watch tonight.
I agree with you. I expect kind of a hybrid. I expect him to be sort of on script, but I don't think he's going to be so monotone that there's going to be no energy in it. I think he wants to be kind of a cheerleader tonight and get people to be more positive about what things are going on. And I don't think you can convince people to be positive just by reading the teleprompter. I'll tell you the story of the week. I don't know if you've seen this yet. It's a long, long, long article. It's like 10,000 words long. In Compact Magazine by a guy named...
Oh, I read it. I know exactly what you're going to say. I haven't... Go ahead and preview this because I have not talked about it yet, but this is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And you know, you're younger than I am.
Not
but,
much.
Okay, well, okay. We can have the conversation off air. I don't want to age shame you. I'm 59, so to me, and I've got a son, my oldest son is 35, so he's right in the heart of the millennials, right? And I pick on millennials all the time because one of my associate producers here is a millennial, and I pick on him all the time because it seems like that whole generation is a lost generation. They don't have the work ethic. They don't. There's a lot of things they don't do, and I get that. Every generation, the people that are now my age talk about the group behind them as, those stupid kids, they don't know anything, right? That's been going on time immemorial. But the millennials are kind of a different breed of cat, and they just don't do things the way that we did when we were working and had to hustle for a job and sometimes pick up two and three jobs just to be able to get by and get our share of the American dream. They don't seem to be as motivated for that. And I never understood why. I read this piece by Jacob Savage, and I get it as to why. The DEI stuff, which we on the right hated and did everything we could to stop because it was screwing over conservatives, it has screwed over people on the left side of the aisle, too. It has screwed over progressives. It has attacked young white males that are right in the wheelhouse of the millennial generation to the point where they don't have opportunities anymore. They've given up.
It's pretty frightening. Sue, I told you about this yesterday, remember?
Yeah.
Dwayne, to your point, this is a very, very long piece, but it was worth every... I've been waiting for an opportunity, but it's so detailed. And here's the thing. I have a son who is a teacher at a public school in Southside Chicago, all black school.
God
He's like one of the only white, you know, teachers in the school. So
yep.
He has aspirations for maybe higher levels in academia. I'm going to send him this article, not to be a big, you know, downer at the holidays, but the numbers that he includes in this piece, not only on people in academia, but in the media. And his point is he was a scriptwriter and he was writing scripts and he was starting to get some attention. And there was a pilot that had pretty much gotten greenlit. But then all of a sudden the studio comes back and says, you know what? Too many white guys in the room. We can't have that. So what Jacob does is not, he doesn't bitch and moan about his situation, but he brings the receipts and he goes into great detail about the percentage of white dudes in whether it's a room for scriptwriters in Hollywood or The Atlantic or some of these newspapers like the LA Times, and it is stunning how much lower the level of white men are in newsrooms and in writing rooms across the country compared to what they were even 15 years ago.
Now this is left of center media that they're talking about largely in this article that they're coming up with data points. That's a microcosm. It applies to education. It applies to law. It applies to virtually every other field out there where DEI has permeated. And so my takeaway to this is J.D. Vance's roadmap to the White House in 2028. So Donald Trump's going to talk about the economy tonight, and that's good. 1,000 times yes, keep talking about the economy because that is what you have to do. Everybody in the administration should be talking about affordability, housing, what they're doing to try to make things better than the last 4 years. 1,000 times, yes. What J.D. Vance has an opportunity to do here is to reach millions of disaffected, even people that are center-left or lefties, that are that millennial age range, that feel disillusioned that their movement kicked them to the curb and threw them out and took away all the opportunities. And J.D. Vance is probably the best guy that in the conservative movement now that can articulate, hey, I get it. And you may have had a home in the Democratic Party or thought you had a home in that movement, but here is where your home is, where you actually can have opportunities. The upside for J.D. Vance here is immense.
There are opportunities
if he reaches these people.
I agree with you. Now, let me just offer a little bit from this piece. So he, and by the way, Dwayne, this will come as no surprise to folks here, but a lot of this, Sue, starts in 2014. And
absolutely,
what happened in 2014? Mike Brown and Ferguson. So this guy says when he moved to L.A. in 2011, well, wasn't that time?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Long ago, white men were 48% of the lower-level TV writers. By 2024, they were just 11.9%. And all of these percentages kind of hold true for other media organizations and also, you know, institutions of higher learning. And it's quite something, because I don't know how you get out of this, but there's been such a commitment to DEI. It raises the question. This is true in medicine too, Dwayne, as you know. Are you getting the best people, or are you just getting the best colored people? And I think we've kind of figured that out over the course of the last 15 years, and the tide is turning a bit. But man, have you had this guy on the show who wrote that piece?
No, it just got published this week, I think on Monday. I just learned about it, talked about it on my podcast yesterday. I'm heartened that J.D. Vance got a hold of it by today and started tweeting it out saying this is a big piece.
I was unaware of that, but that's good to hear.
It's wonderful that he gets it, and if he adopts that message so that he can communicate to these people. Part of it's 8,000 plus words long. You go to the last page or two of it, and Savage says, I interviewed countless people for this article, and virtually all of them, I'm paraphrasing, virtually all of them were left of center or progressives. And then he says, new sentence, some of them still are. Because they realize that the party and the movement that they're in failed them. Just completely betrayed them. And so now they're out there kind of lost, looking for a home. And I'm telling you, are we going to agree with them on every policy issue? Of course not. But can we give them something they're looking for, which is an opportunity to achieve the American dream? You betcha.
I'm just tweeting this out right now for people. I'm going to retweet the vice president because it is a long read, as we've indicated, but it is really important. Again, I almost press go. You guys tell me what to do. I almost press go on this to my son today, but he's going to be in town next week. I don't want him to misinterpret the reason that I'm sending it to him. But I feel like young men, young white men, if you're in your 20s, you got kids in their 20s, they need access to this information, because it may very well change career choices when you look into this. And it might very well should change career choices, because the reality of what some of these kids are up against probably isn't going to change on a dime. And it's a little frightening. So it's a really good read. One more question before I let you go here, because I got to get your thoughts on Susie Wiles. She is a very powerful person inside the White House. She's the White House Chief of Staff. She's very shy. She does not do a lot of media, but she does this piece with Vanity Fair. There's 11 different times that this Chris Whipple guy talks to Susie Wiles. And then I'm driving out of here, leaving my show last night. I knew this was going to happen. I turned Laura on Fox. She's talking about Brown University. CNN is all about the chaos in the White House and the peace in Vanity Fair. Blah, 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 this terrible, you know, president. Why did Susie Wiles agree to do this, though, Dwayne? That's the question that I have.
Well, I have no idea. The short answer is I wouldn't have done it unless I wouldn't have trusted them, number one. Number two, the smart thing to do is if you're going to do that, you keep the rest of the interview. You have a copy of all of it. As part of negotiating, here are the terms of your access. We get the entire interview so that if you'd pull a stunt like this, we can release the whole thing. And then you turn it into a war against Vanity Fair and you show how biased they are and that reporter is done for. So that's your insurance policy. Now, why they didn't do that, I don't know. They should have.
Yeah, I guess that was part one, right? Part two, and it wasn't like it was the worst piece on Susie Wiles ever, but what happens is CNN runs with the worst part and the things that they think they can glom onto. But there were some strong words from even Donald Trump Jr. really, really giving high praise to Susie Wiles yesterday, and I'm pretty sure the president is sticking with her. Listen, you have a great Christmas. Thank you for all the contributions. We'll talk in a few weeks. How does that sound?
Absolutely. Mark, Merry Christmas, and one of the best gifts I've had is this relationship we've developed over the last year.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Dwayne Patterson, check him out at the Dwayne's World Podcast and hotair.com.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.